one, there was a, when I was in Christchurch, when I first started performing, I was living in Christchurch in the South Island of New Zealand. And essentially part of Christchurch, just over the hill, is the port town called Lyttelton. There's a little bar called the Wonder Bar.
Okay.
It's a really cool little bar, kitschy, you know, port town sailor's bar, you know. And out the back, there's a cabaret room. And every Friday night, they would have a cabaret show. And there'd be like an Elvis impersonator and a drag queen and I don't know, one of everything. And there'd be a circus performer. And I'd do that a couple of times a month. And I remember doing, actually, it wasn't one of those nights. It was my own gig.
Oh, no.
and I was there doing it, and it was really quiet. And we were sort of looking at the clock, waiting. We thought, like, might as well start. There's like four people here.
Oh.
So it's like, all right, we'll start. And then suddenly this big bunch of people showed up. It got really busy. It's like, yes, let's do it. Started doing the show. And halfway through my Diablo routine, you know, 5 minutes in, someone just came in and rang a bell, like a handbell. And everybody left, like the entire venue, because it was a pub crawl on a bus. And they're like, this is, they drive out to this town to go to this pub, and they're there for 40 minutes, and then they go. And it just, it was, they left so fast that it took me 10 or 15 seconds to register that nobody was in the room anymore. It was just me on my own. So for, I don't know, 20 seconds, I was doing my routine. I was doing jokes to just to nobody.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Hello and welcome. This is Meet the Entertainers, and I am Big Ben. This week I'm talking to the amazing Mr. Kim Potter, an amazing juggler, unicyclist, magician, and musician. But, am I being too hyper? All right, let's just carry on. First, a word from our sponsors. I love juggling, and the best place to buy all things juggling related is oddballs.co.uk. That's oddballs.co.uk. I've been going to their shop since the 1980s, and now you can go there online too. The staff at Oddballs really know what they're talking about. Will the juggling axe, a fire torch, and the juggling club work while I balance on a roller bowler? Yes, says the staff at Oddballs, because they've actually tried it. True story. They also sell bubble equipment, yo-yos, lassos, stilts, Diablos, roller bowlers, and unicycles. The list goes on and on and on. So visit oddballs.co.uk right now and get yourself some juggling equipment. I did it back in 1988 and built a whole career out of it. The links and contact details for Oddballs are all in this episode's description. All right, well, let's go and talk to Kim Potter, also known as Vinyl Burns.
I remember, I don't know what year it was. It was a few years ago. I met the Hong Kong Rugby Sevens. They call it the Fan Walk. So it's all the people are walking to and from the stadium, and they've got a few street performers and things happening, and games to play as they walk past. And I go to the, I guess you call it the green room. And first thing I see is I see a giraffe unicycle that I don't recognize. And I think I know all the people who have unicycles in Hong Kong. So I'm like, yeah, maybe there's somebody here who I haven't met before. And then I see this, I was so hot that day and I was doing so many shows. That it's all a bit of a blur. But I remember,
for me too.
I remember seeing quite a dapper looking man. His name was Kim Potter. I was like, oh, how are you doing? I'm Ben. And then I had to rush off and do my shows. So I had a massively bizarre schedule of like, it was one of the things where they'd organized it and it wasn't an entertainer who'd organized the schedule for me anyway, because they hadn't given me any breaks. It was just like, it was more like a marathon. Anyway, enough about me. So about a good day, I see another guy with these bizarre teeth that makes me think of Austin Powers, a big mop of hair, something like Elton John now has, something sparkling in his costume, off to do a show, and he ended up getting on his unicycle, and he had a guitar, and he had a helmet on with a piece of music flying around and around. And in the show, the thing that made me roar with laughter is he's balancing a bottle on his head, and there was this reveal that blew me away because his hair fell off when his head went back, and you realised the whole show the guy had been wearing a toupee, and that was you. Well, that was you being Vinyl Burns.
Yeah, classic double. Double move.
No, that's a lovely reveal. I mean, what a surprise. Because I didn't even realise you were the same guy I'd seen earlier. So the guy I'd seen earlier, I'm pretty certain he was bald. And I think he had normal teeth. And the guy on stage had hair and these crazy teeth. Yeah, but there you go. It's you. Tell me about Vinyl Burns. I mean, that is such a brilliant character, I think. It's awesome. Tell me about him. Where did he come from?
Oh, thanks.
Story?
Well, the story goes that I guess 15 years ago, I sort of had, you know, I had my show, which was basically the show that I'd started out with. Mm-hmm. And I'd created another few routines to it, and so I was starting to get the sense that, like, oh, I can actually come up with new stuff. Like, right, okay, so my brain was working. So I thought, I want a new finale, because I was doing a straitjacket.
Right.
I thought, oh, new finale, need to be able to travel. What's, you know, what's something I can do that's good, mm-hmm. like roller bowler.
Ah.
So I went to roller bowler. And I was sitting around with a friend of mine, Sam Wills, and
the boy
just brainstorming.
The boy with tape on his face, yeah?
All right.
Is that the boy
with tape? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, I think that was pre-tape.
Right.
Or around the beginning of tape. Yeah, okay. Beginning
so
of tape.
So check him out. Google him out, listeners. He's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a five-star. Five-star, that geezer. So we were brainstorming. I was like, roller bowler, okay, what? How can I make it different? And we ended up with the idea of it being an ironing board. So the roller board is an ironing board, and then the diagonals go down to a base plate, and then the base plate sits on the roller. So you're actually up quite high rolling. So I was like, great, cool finale, that'll work. Now I've got this, basically got a table. What else can I do with that, with the roller before the finale? What else can I do?
Because the ironing board is basically the same as a table, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like the tabletop magic, cups and balls, all that stuff. Like, great,
Okay.
Like a bad magic routine.
Mm-hmm.
Like comedy, slapstick magic. And then we thought, like, who would do that?
Yeah.
And that's where Vinyl Burns came from.
So he's not he's not actually originally a musician. He's actually originally kind of a magician.
Yeah, yeah, kind of a burnt out Las Vegas, you know, off off the strip.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he was pretty good once.
Yeah.
Like I sort of, over the years, I've sort of built a backstory for him. Just casually. I never really sit down and write and plan. I just sort of start talking and tell a story, and it's like, oh, okay, that's part of his history now.
Yeah.
So, but I picture him as the kind of guy who used to, he'd finish his show in one of the smaller clubs in Vegas, and then he'd end up in the same venue, the same after party club as Sinatra and Dean Martin and all of Jerry Lewis, all those guys.
Yeah.
And they would be aware of him and be polite.
Yeah.
But that was about it. And he knew it. Vinyl knew it.
Yeah.
But he knows that he's not up there, but he has been, he's perceived as having been up there, so he plays that.
Yeah.
It's something like that. That sort of, you know, that sort of balance that all performers kind of live to a degree for real. You know, people who are non-performers think that it's just five-star glamorous lifestyle.
Yeah.
And performers who are up there know what down here feels like.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of those relationship relative perceptions.
So, yeah. But unfortunately, we're on a podcast, which is going to be audio. But I'll post some photos of Vinyl Burns. But can you describe him? Because what an amazing image. What does he look like?
Yeah. Well, I think Sam and I just sort of brainstormed the ingredients of what he would look like that night when we were just chatting. But I think like prosthetic teeth, big sort of goofy teeth with a like I have several sets and some have the gold tooth and a bit of bling and others are really manky.
Yeah, really manky bad teeth. Yeah, that's what I remember.
Yeah, and a toupee. And it's funny. Originally, I thought, yeah, he's got to have a toupee.
Yeah.
Big wig. And then I went and found out how much they cost. And I was like, I'm not spending that. No. So I did the first few years without one.
Oh.
And then I just found a dead man's toupee for $5 in a secondhand shop. I was like,
oh, fantastic.
And when I got it, it was super close to my own hair color. So
fantastic.
It was almost believable.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, perfect for comedy because it was not quite believable.
Yeah.
It was as bad as it would be if Vinyl was a real dude.
Yeah.
But then over the years, I've gone grey and working outdoors a lot, it's gone ginger. So now it's even more perfectly works.
Oh, okay. Does he often wear sunglasses? Am I going crazy there? Does Vinyl often?
Yeah. Yeah, the like rose tinted aviators, there aviator you go. Sunglasses are the. That's kind of the ingredient that makes or breaks them. I can't do the voice without the teeth in, and without the glasses, it just doesn't look like him. It's just part of the shape of the face.
Brilliant. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about.
It's interesting because I do a bit of radio every now and again as Vinyl, or you know, at a festival for the promo, the radio wants us to come in and so I'll do it in character. But I'll just have to explain. Look, I'm going to put these teeth in. It's going to be really weird for you guys, but it's not going to sound right. I'm just not going to be able to do it if I don't.
I know exactly what you mean. I did a radio interview as a character, and I had to be in my full costume, even though they couldn't see it. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to you, in your own head. You're not him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's briefly talk about the online world of Vinyl Burns before we get into the shows, because it's fantastic. Yeah. It builds up the whole kind of reality of the character, because if you go online and look at Vinyl Burns' websites, there's videos and there's blogs, there's Vinyl Burns swimming videos, there's an amazing photo page, there's you live DJing as Vinyl Burns. I don't know what my question is here. I guess there's so much of it. If someone wanted to have a look, what bit of the online Vinyl Burns do you recommend they go and have a look at if they want to come and see it right now?
Wow. Well, there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
I alluded to before, like I've always just treated him like, okay, if this guy was real, what would he have done?
Yeah.
So, okay, well, he worked in Vegas, so he would probably have played a bit of poker. And he would probably get good enough to think that he was good enough to teach, so he would have put together a poker tutorial online. So I made it. And then I thought, well, he would hang out with musicians. He would probably think he was good enough to put out an album. So I wrote an album, recorded an album. So he's got an album and some music videos. And like sex therapy kind of agony aunt sort of video series. I've actually just finished writing just before the lockdown here. I finished writing a hoax talk as a motivational speaker.
Yes. I've just checked that out.
Just full of double talk and nonsense.
I've had a look.
But that came out of another video series called Power Talk. Which is, you know, all of those sort of Tony Robbins.
Inspirational, motivational speaker.
Gary Vee. Yeah, those little one-liner sound bites. that just don't make any sense, but they weirdly sound powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, all of that stuff has just come from, you know, just sitting around one day and going like, oh yeah, Final Burns would do that. Like, and I'll go away and make his version of it.
It's brilliant. You know what it reminds me of? I never saw Andy Kaufman. I'm too young.
Tony Clifton.
Yeah, Tony Clifton. I saw Man on the Moon done by Jim Carrey when he played Andy Kaufman. It reminds me of that. It's almost like the character has a life of his own. It's like Tony Clifton, yeah. Mm. It reminds me of that. It's awesome.
Yeah, because I saw Man on the Moon right soon after I'd started doing vinyl.
Yeah.
And I think one of the first gigs I had, I was emceeing a big New Year's Eve event.
Yeah.
No, not emceeing. I was doing like three little 20-minute shows.
Yeah.
In between the big bands, the big local bands that everyone really wanted to see.
Mm.
So in between those, here's some clown doing
something.
You know, that was
yeah.
Where I was like, so I did three slots as vinyl.
Yeah.
And first couple, I brought my A game in the last slot. I figured like, well, they know me already. Like they've seen that it's good. Like they're kind of with me.
Yeah.
But by that stage, they were totally polarized. Half of them were families, you know, really into it, totally up for it. And the other half just wanted to see the band because their mates were in it and they were not in the mood.
Yeah.
And because I'd just seen Man in the Moon, I had that Tony Clifton mindset going on. It's like, I'm just going to give them what I want to give them, you know, like, and just push this crazy character that I know that half of these people don't want.
Yeah.
Just push it on them. And the families, the people who were into it could see that.
Yeah.
Or at least my perception of what was happening was that they were seeing what I was doing and loved it.
Yeah.
So I just turned the volume up on that and it just spiraled. And it was powerful, but I don't think it was wise. Like it was fine. The gig went well, but I could just see the look in some of these people's eyes. Like they did not want me on stage at all. But then the other half were so into it. So
the whole
Man in the Mood sort of headspace, that Andy Kaufman attitude of playing with the whole dynamic of all the different people who want all the different things and just getting in there and
fantastic. I mean, it's a balance, and it's sometimes, especially on a long gig, but on a short show, you've got to entertain the audience. But if you're doing a really long gig or you're on for three or four sets, so you've got to keep yourself happy as well sometimes.
sort of that. But it's almost like you have the space and the time to take them on the journey.
Yeah.
Like to introduce yourself and get them comfortable and familiar with you and then twist it up.
That's a much better answer than what I said, yeah. My one's actually wrong. If you're an entertainer, you shouldn't do what you want to do. You should do what keeps the audience happy, yeah. Your answer's better than mine.
Well, it's what you said is also true, I think, that like an audience can tell the difference. Well, not consciously, but when a performer is really having a good time, it totally comes across, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If you're faking, you can tell. But if you're generally having a good time, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
That works well. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I talk about me having a good time again. I want to say, again, I just loved the reveal of the hair, the toupee coming off when you bounce the bottle on your head. How did you come up with that? I mean, you're a very funny guy, and you've obviously got a brilliant set. But where did that one come from?
Oh, I couldn't tell you the moment, but I do. Yeah, I think it was just one of those things that slowly crept in.
So find a video, because Vinyl Burns is totally oblivious that his hair's fallen off, and the audience is howling with laughter. It's great.
Yeah. Well, sometimes he's oblivious. I mean, you know, because I'm not trained you know, formally trained in any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm pretty sure I'm breaking a whole lot of rules about about the kind of character you are and how aware the character is of, and the yeah. fourth wall and all of that. Because with that yeah. with that toupee thing, it varies from show to show sometimes, but also even within the consistency of the way I normally do it,
yeah,
I go from not knowing to then referencing that it's happened and then back to being unaware. Like I just go back and forth with no logic to it, but yeah, it's just I go here to get a laugh, and then I go back to this premise to get another laugh, and then I go back here again.
Yeah, but it goes back to that thing that audiences, if you're doing a character, is that the audience know, of course, if they think about it, that it's a character. But at the same time, audiences will suspend their disbelief. So it doesn't actually, you don't actually have to make it 100% believable. Yeah, you can break the form and go back. It's fine. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I always really enjoyed acts like, Morecambe and Wise are the only ones I can think of right now. But the way, you know, when comedians corpse on stage, crack themselves up, and then, you know, and you're watching the performer struggle to get through the piece, and that's more fun than watching them do it well, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
There was a clip floating around a few years ago of Rick Mayall and Aid Edmondson doing Bottom on tour.
Okay.
Where one of them messes up a line and the other one just drills in on it, giving the performer a hard time. And they do 15 minutes of just messing with each other in front of the audience, just playing the game of how much you screwed it up.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Not only is it really visually funny, the toupee coming off, the lines you say are great as well. I mean, what do you say? It's something like, if anything goes wrong up here, I'm not covered. And you've got nothing going on up there because your hair's fallen off. It's brilliant. It's really good.
Yeah, oh, thanks. Yeah, I do like the way that, like, that whole routine in particular is one of the few bits of my work that I've just really it's just ended up in a nice place where it feels so nice cool. when it goes right, because just like I was saying, going back and forth in and out of the premise that I you know, I'm the character, and now I don't really sit down and analyze this stuff, so I'm kind of winging this conversation.
That's all right. I've got plenty of easy questions. Here's an easy question. Tell me about your amazing giraffe unicycle act. Tell me, if someone's listening, how do you describe what you do?
Well, the finale is... I'm trying to work out how much where to start. Like through the show, I have a loop pedal, like a guitar stomp box pedal, that just will record a loop of whatever I've played, play over and over, and then I put another layer on top and another layer, so you can build up a whole soundscape. So I get that going. That's the backdrop, and then I end up getting on the big unicycle with lots of sort of one-liners and slapstick and bits and pieces. But I end up on this tall unicycle with a crash helmet on and the sheet music. But because I have a guitar in my hands, can't hold it. So I have a little clip that comes off the helmet and with clothes peg kind of clip. So I clip the music in front of my face, but then the thing that's holding the music is on a swivel, so that music in the whole gadget ends up helicoptering around my head while I play it used to be Sweet Child of Mine back when you saw it, I think, but I do We Will Rock You now.
Okay
because it's a better audience interaction song. So the backing track that I've built before I get up ends up being you know, the band that I'm playing along with. So then I just sing We Will Rock You and play the guitar solo up there with the thing helicoptering around.
Wow.
So it's just a nice combination of, you know, good skill and musicality and a sing-along audience participation, clapping, stomping, singing.
Yeah.
And just this visual chaos of just this guy, bizarre-looking guy, on top of a one-wheeled bike with a, you know, a miniature Flying V guitar. You know, the classic rock star guitar, but it's half size, so it's stupid. You know, just all those combinations of trying to be spectacular. He's up high, but he looks stupid, and he's playing this great song that we love, but he sounds odd, and he made half the band himself, and the music's flying around his head. You know, just chaos and fun.
Oh, it's a really – it's a fantastic – finale to the show, and it's just amazing. Oh, is it an act of the volunteer? I can't remember now. Is it an act of the volunteer?
Yeah, because just it's easier, but it's just easier to do it that way. It's more sort of builds the tension a bit more. It's more comedy, and I also get to like, again, not really consciously planned, but in hindsight, it introduces the items to the audience.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so I'm going to need my music right up, but once I've got the guitar, I won't be able to hold the music, so I need this clip on the helmet. And so it just sort of explains the story through doing that.
Yeah. How did you come up with the helmet with the music on a pole that spins around your head? That's another superbly funny visual bit.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. I don't think I can remember the moment. I remember, I mean, there's a guy, Dominic Taylor from here, who's, he'll just build anything. He's kind of my go-to engineering genius whenever I have a harebrained idea.
Yeah.
I have, I mean, I've got a mobile Vegas wedding chapel that he designed for me.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that soon, yeah.
And but yeah, all these little gadgets and the ironing board as well. He sort of put together the construction for that. So
that's brilliant. So someone helped you build stuff. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
This is a question I can't remember. I think I wrote this question when I met you in 2018 or whenever it was. And I don't even know what it refers to. It says, "What is the Paris Hilton puppet show?"
Oh right. That's kind of just a variation on with the Diablo.
Oh, yeah.
Diablo is a
jumping
prop.
Yeah.
Just like a sort of a, for those who aren't familiar, it's like a sort of a spinning top, like a big yo-yo, and you spin it up on a string between two hand sticks.
Yeah.
And a totally sort of hack, like totally generic, everybody does it. Pre-routine joke is with the hand sticks and string, you make a little puppet show with the two sticks being the puppets and you're jiggling them on the string. And the old liners are something like anorexic puppet show or Ethiopian puppet show or something completely offensive these days. and the version, and I just thought like Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, because when I started doing that line, it was about 15 years ago when they were relevant. And like several things in my show, I still do the lines, even though nobody's heard of the X-Files for 20 years or whatever it is, you know.
There you go. That wraps up the mystery for me then, yeah. Paris Hilton, I know she is super skinny. So there you are. You've got the Diablo hand sticks puppet show, and that's Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
Oh, do you do Final Burns as a roving act sometimes off stage?
Sometimes. Well, I did it in Hong Kong when we met as well.
That's right.
That was the first time I sort of did what I did there, which was basically wandering around playing screaming guitar solos, but with a backpack with the amp in it, like a really punchy, powerful amp.
Yeah.
So it's pretty loud. But just this weird looking guy wandering around. And for that event, I just learnt you know, like a couple of dozen national anthems because it's the rugby world, sevens.
Oh, yeah, so that makes sense.
All sorts of countries there. And so just wandering around playing these Jimi Hendrix versions of national anthems, you know.
Brilliant. So you've got Vinyl Burns on stage. You can do Vinyl Burns roving act. And also, tell me about the DJ Vinyl Burns. Do you get gigs? You're a DJ and you're in character.
Yeah, well, again, that was another thing that I figured if he was real, he would probably have had a go at being a DJ at some point. So I started doing that just as a gag, just purely off the laptop, just hitting next on iTunes, you know. and bit by bit, just you know, learned some of the skills and suddenly realized, like, oh, I quite like this after for my whole life totally not rating what DJs do at all.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
rolling my eyes and going, oh,
so you learned
to play records. Great.
You learned the skills of being a DJ.
Yeah, and I really enjoy it. And I do it a little bit as me, but still mostly just as vinyl. So when
what kind of client hires you? What kind of gigs do you get when you as a DJ for Vinyl Burns?
I've done it for all kinds of contexts, from, you know, sort of galas and dinners, but through to, you know, Christmas parties, just your, you know, company down the road is having a Christmas party and they want a DJ. And sometimes I'll, you know, do a sort of a package where I do a mix and mingle, meet and greet, and then I do a show.
Yeah.
And then I'm the DJ. So they sort of get to know me.
Oh, that's great. I like the idea of a package because that's great. Because I don't know if I got this right, but it seems to me someone like you, you are not necessarily, in one sense, you do it for art's sake, because you obviously love what you're doing and you love the creative process. But at the same time, this is also your job where you need to make a living. So the things you do, the artistic things that you do, in the end, they need to make some money as well, don't they? They need to be,
because you
buy the food and whatever. So I like the idea of a package. Yeah, that's great. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're right. I have always tended towards the artistic, eccentric, end of the spectrum, rather than finding, like, okay, where's the money? Let's write for that.
Mm.
You know, I could have tailored it much more to where the money is in the market. But it doesn't interest me as much.
No, you know, no.
I've got slightly more left field things that interest me and that make me laugh.
Yeah.
And so it just makes sense to try and create that stuff.
And but there's a balance, isn't there? Because at the same time, it's also, I'm assuming this is, of course you're a full-time entertainer, you're a full-time performer. So you need to have enough money to pay the rent and buy the food. So you've got to balance things, I guess.
Yeah. It's and it is a balance. But I think that, you know, the world is big enough and it's interesting with things going online at the moment, you know, there's an audience for everything.
Yeah.
And the more niche you are, once you find that audience,
that's true.
They're yours for life.
That's true. Online, you can find, if you have a niche online and you have your little core of supporters, brilliant. That's it. It's sorted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're one of the three people in the world who scratch their itch. You know?
Yes. Yes. Like all right.
Yeah. Elvis impersonators you can find them any old street corner, but the person who does that weird thing that you know that you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once you find that audience.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something to be said there about the potential for online work. And who knows, after this coronavirus eventually wanes, who knows how the market will be. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows indeed.
Next question. What is your show? This is the inspirational stuff, isn't it? What is your show, The Power to Change Your Mind? And is it Lionel Burns doing these shows, these talks?
Yeah, I haven't really had a chance to take it out into the real world.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether... I mean, I like the idea and I feel more comfortable doing it as Vinyl. It just seems like, oh, here's another thing that Vinyl does.
Yeah.
Because then again, I can, you know, if people want the talk, I can also do that. Like it's a reasonable, I think it's a reasonably common thing to, you do the sort of the hoax talk and then there's the reveal.
Yeah.
And then you do a show or a routine or a, like there's some... extra things, so I'm equipped to do that. So that's
a possible
and to do it all as Vinyl makes sense to me.
Yeah,
but maybe a different character is the way to go, or to do it just as me.
Okay,
but all of the doublespeak and the sort of the stupidity that's woven into it through under the premise of wisdom.
Yeah,
it was sort of written from Vinyl's headspace, so it to me it doesn't feel right to do it as a different character.
Yeah,
but the outside eyes are going to be able to tell that better than me.
I think it looks great as Vinyl Burns doing an inspirational talk. Vinyl Burns, his second career as an inspirational speaker.
Yeah, well, I've only got another 30 or 40 years of being able to jump on a big unicycle, so I've got to have something to fall back on after that.
That's true, actually. Yeah, you've got to, if you're doing a career long time, you want to change as your body changes. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I remember people saying we were talking about another performer at one point years ago, and people were saying like, "Ah, he's going to have to stop doing that tall unicycle at some point. Nobody wants to see a 50-year-old man going on a unicycle." And I mean, I'm 48 now. Yeah. I feel pretty fine about carrying on. But Vinyl Burns looks 60, 65.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of him looking older and older and still jumping up there. Like,
yeah.
That works fine for me.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a hack line, but I saw a lovely performer years ago, and I still remember it. He was pretty old. He was getting on his giraffe unicycle, and he said, "I'm getting on a bit. I'm getting on."
Oh, you're right, yeah.
All right. If someone hasn't seen your Vegas wedding chapel act, can describe it? And another question up before I forget is it really hard to transport? So can you describe this Vegas wedding chapel act?
Okay, well, there is a show sort of written, sort of, but it doesn't exist yet. But the chapel itself was basically just, it came from the idea, it's basically a backdrop for Vinyl Burns to DJ.
Oh.
Because when I'm DJing as the character, I sort of play it a little bit like a, you know, James Brown, Preacher Man, slightly, a little bit evangelical, raise the roof kind of a approach to it. And so some sort of, you know, churchy, majestic backdrop was sort of what we had in mind, and it started out really simple and modest, just a backdrop or a printed sign or something with some props, and just snowballed into this, you know, now it's basically a flat deck trailer, 6 meters long, and it has when it's all packed down, it's a box that's maybe 2 meters tall, from the deck. So it's a pretty big box, but then the sides of the box crank up like that to be the roof, and then there's a steeple with a disco ball, and so it's 8.5 meters tall when it's up.
Meters tall. Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty
massive.
Pretty massive looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and that you set. I mean, it's just a trailer when it's packed down, so you hook it on the back of your car and you drive off to the gig, and spend an hour cranking it up and plugging everything in. And I know it's sort of, you know, stained glass windows of vinyl burns releasing doves and that sort of thing.
Wow.
But it's just a backdrop for me to play music and be, I think it's used best when it's sort of background ambience and also just, you know, housekeeping info, kind of emceeing, hosting an outdoor event, you know, a big event in a park or in a food zone with like vendors and benches to sit and, you know, and I'm just the atmosphere. A little bit of banter and comedy and
so. Did you see 8.5 meters tall? Have I got that right? 8.5 meters.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's right.
Anyway, so it's pretty tall, but it can fit. The main thing is it can fit into a 2 meter box that can fit on the back of. It can be put on a trailer behind your car, so you can get it to a show if you need to.
Yeah, I'm just saying it can't be 8.5 meters tall. Because the house I'm in here is 8.5 meters tall, and that's massive.
Anyway, don't worry. It's pretty tall.
Yeah, it's tall, but yeah, maybe 8.5. I'm not very good with those numbers and that.
But it's like the magician when he's 10 foot. I got a 10 foot pole, and say like 5 foot long. Yeah, okay, got it. Don't worry, it's all good. It's big.
It's massive. Massive.
So if you're performing overseas, maybe somewhere like Asia, what do other cultures make of vinyl burns? Because as a Westerner, for me, it seems to fit into something that I've got an idea of where he's coming from. I kind of feel I know his backstory, even if I don't actually know his backstory. Do other cultures get him, or do you have to vary the act slightly in different countries?
You're aware of the differences in different countries, different cultures. Usually for me, the biggest thing is the different languages. So if it's a country or a place that doesn't speak a lot of English, I'll make it way more physical. I'll still try and learn a bit of the local language and weave that in or really simplify things. Most places are okay with English, and when they're not, just adding more music background, you know, just putting on music tracks in the background so that there's something to keep the energy going.
Because if English and, is the language, if you're going to talk for 20 minutes, it's not going to be maybe as good for them as if you play quite a lot of music in the background and make it visual.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, the sort of combination that I have in my show is it's a pretty healthy mix of talk and skills, just circus skills, you know, juggling and unicycling and music. There's a lot of music in there and a lot of just interaction and improvisation. So when you take out one of those ingredients, like the ability to chat, you've still got quite a lot left to.
Yeah. And I just want to quickly say to people who don't know, you're an amazing musician, actually, aren't you? You could have gone either way. You could have been a street entertainer, or you could have been a musician. I heard some of your songs. I've looked at some of the music videos. They're brilliant. Amazing.
Oh, right. Oh, thanks.
I just wanted to put that in there. Look, if people. If people want to check this stuff out. If people want to know more, what's the best place to find you on the internet? Or you could give a few names. I'll put them all in the description to this report.
Sure. Yeah. The official business website is kiwicomedy.com.
There you go.
And Vinyl Burns has his own internet world. That's vinylburns.com.
Yeah.
VinylBurns.com. And then I guess the place where everything else that's left over lives is kimpotter.co.nz.
There you are.
So that's currently that's a sort of a one-stop shop for my music. Like my singer-songwriter stuff, I produce last decade or so. I've just been casually producing like electronic stuff.
Yeah.
That I like. I don't even know what the genre is. It's everything from just atmospheres through to pretty funky house. But I don't really know the names for the genres. Anyway, yeah. I do that as Otaki Air Force. Otaki is a little town just over an hour from here where I started doing that. So
there you go.
Yeah, and I do. I sort of take photos and shoot video, and so that lives there as well.
All right. This shows how much I don't know about your act. I only really saw you once live briefly, and I was rushing around doing my own stuff at the Hong Kong.
We were pretty busy.
Yeah. So music in your show, you can loop music live and control that yourself. Do you have background music playing? Do you have any music cues that someone off stage needs to do for you?
The way I've evolved to working these days is because I have the loop pedal with the which I play the guitar stuff
through. Yeah.
That also has the ability to, you can just store MP3s on it.
Yeah.
So you just tap through to the right number and you just hit the pedal. It's like hitting play on a MP3 player.
Yeah. So it's almost like you've got your own control on stage.
Yeah. So I just stomp it with my foot and you know, it's the best compromise. Like I've tried those sort of the remote triggers for MP3 players and trying to communicate to a sound technician, you know, exactly the moment that I need it to happen.
These problems. Yeah.
Like the technology is amazing these days, but for me, I've just found that this is the simplest, most reliable. Like it's kind of thuggish. It's really brutal and there's no subtlety to it. It's just like, to make the music play, you stomp on that box.
There you go. I like that.
And it just works.
All right. Here we go. Last few bits and bobs. How do you make or get all your wonderful promotional videos? There's some really lovely videos of Vinyl Burns. Are you a techie guy?
Yeah. Well, right before... In 2000. I'd been performing a few years, and I thought, this is good. But I don't think I would have sat down and gone, I probably should be smart and get a proper job or do, you know, study something good. I don't think I would have thought about it that way.
Yeah.
But I did a multimedia course for a year. Just, you know, a little bit of, it was mostly just learning the software. There was no creative training or artistic element to it. It was just like, this is this program and this is how it works. And this is this program and this is how it works. So I sort of got familiar with all the software, you know, for like Premiere and Photoshop and all of that stuff, how to make pictures basically.
Yeah.
So, and then as soon as I finished that, I got my first gig overseas and didn't look back. But it just set me up really well to be, you know, to have the skills to build the websites and edit the videos and touch up the photos and, you know.
I always, which is the problem is that getting some, you have to get someone else sometimes to video you though, don't you? Because you can't always just put a camera on a tripod and stand in front of it. You need someone to video you sometimes.
Yeah, that's always been the thing. Although these days, I mean, you still need that. But for a lot of the stuff, like recently, the last 3 or 4 years, I've been using a 360 camera. And so I have like a telescopic, you know, selfie stick, basically.
Yes.
And I just, right before coronavirus arrived, I got a crazy long one.
Yeah.
It's 8.5 meters long, but we know that I don't know how long it is.
So it's three times the size of the house. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, and so this 360 camera goes on that. I have a slot on the side of my flight case, my show box.
Yeah.
So it stands there with this 360 cam up there, and I just hit record, do my show, and then it looks like a drone shot.
Wow.
Because it, like a 360 camera, like, you know, when you take, do you know what a 360 camera is?
I think
the people at home.
I think I've seen the 360 video, but tell me, let's pretend that I really know absolutely nothing at all, which I probably do. What is a 360?
Well, if you imagine, like on your phone, if you take, you can take a panorama shot.
Yeah.
You just quick go and you go left to right and you get a nice panorama of, you know, 180 degrees. It's that, but it's 360 degrees. So it's everything.
Yeah.
And it's video.
Yeah.
So it is filming everything that's inside of it.
That's amazing, isn't it? It's like the best possible wide-angle lens, the best possible wide-angle lens. You've got everything.
Yeah, and so the way you use it is you film it, and it films everything that happened in the space, and then you go back and you edit it so that you go, well, okay, for wherever this guy goes, I want to just follow them, and you can with the software you can just track the person, so the camera in hindsight will behave as if the cameraman was tracking and moving and following the person.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad they asked this question. I know what I'm getting for Christmas. I'm going to get a 360 camera.
Yeah, it's fun. Because, I mean, to get top-notch quality out of it, the top quality ones are crazy expensive.
Yeah.
But for, you know, making Instagram online stuff, you don't need the highest quality. I mean, I've just grabbed a lot of, like, just mostly stills.
See, this is why I do the podcast. I always learn something I had no idea about. Nothing. Because I am an addict of videoing my shows. So, yeah, I'd like to try a 360 video camera. That'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Ah, oh, Kim. Really, really good to meet up. Thank you for
Only took us 5 years to
get
the schedule together.
Yeah, that's not bad actually. I've got people I've been chasing for 10 years, so 5 years isn't too bad.
Right. Oh well, I won't feel so bad then.
Oh, alrighty. So yes, that is Kim Potter, aka Vinyl Burns, a really, really talented guy. If you ever get the chance to see him live, then yeah, go and see him. And, I always like to end on a high, so coming up is a couple of bonus items. I've got a really great, let's call it one of my best times ever performing by Kim Potter. Great little story. And also, this podcast is being recorded during the ongoing, seemingly never-ending coronavirus pandemic, and so is another extra little bonus. Whoa, so many bonuses! For those of you who have listened all the way to the end of the episode, thank you very much. As an extra little bonus, I've got Kim Potter's what he's been doing, keeping busy whilst there've been no live performances. He's been online on Twitch live, so there's a really good idea for entertainers.
In particular, entertainers who have fancied themselves as a bit of a DJ.
So there's a really good idea for entertainers who really want to be performing but are stuck at home in lockdown. Go on Twitch, so stay tuned for that little tip. As normal, to keep my costs down, not every single episode is available on this podcast at any one time. But if you go to my website, thebigmenshow.com/podcasts, you will find links to copies of every single episode, all 100 plus. Well, basically, just links to YouTube videos because YouTube is free. But anyway, okay, best story ever. Performing from Vinyl Burns, and a tip of how to keep busy if you're an entertainer during lockdown by going on Twitch and performing live. Take it away, Kim.
There were one of the really great moments that I remember was there is a show that happens every year in Wellington, mm-hmm. New Zealand. It's called the World of Wearable Art. 2 or 3 week long run of shows, like 4,000, 4,500 people a show.
Wow.
Massive production, just everything from, you know, as well as it being a catwalk show, it's just surrounded with live music, live bands, the symphony orchestra, the Royal New Zealand Ballet, bodybuilders, aerialists, stunt people, pyrotechnics, digital VR, you know, everything is in it. And I worked that gig for nearly a decade, doing pre-show, sort of mix and mingle as people are arriving, and then the last 30 minutes, because it takes an hour and a half to get everybody in, because they're all little old ladies, so this is the biggest night of their year,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And they've been drinking since dawn, because it's the big day in the city. So it's a wild time. And we get them in, and maybe the last 30 minutes before showtime, we all come into the auditorium, and now we're working the arena, working the audience as they're seated. And there's me and another guy, Fergus Aitken from here. And we would basically pick a side and we would start working this little group and then bigger group and then this whole block and get them all on our side and get them cheering for us. We do a little thing and then hey, it would build and build. And he'd be doing the same until we started noticing each other and our audiences started noticing their audiences. And it became a big back and forth of like, we could be better than them.
Yeah.
And then it would be different every night, but we'd get to a point where one of us would conduct a full 360 Mexican wave. And we'd be the winner. But just that moment of just having 4,000 people just hanging on your, you know, just the tiniest little moment.
This is the best job in the world. Sometimes it's the worst, but sometimes it's like, sometimes it's like, wow, if I had known I'd have a chance to do this when I was like 6 or 7 or 8 years old, I wouldn't have believed it. Yeah, amazing. Mm. Amazing, amazing. I know, what a crazy year. I might add in a little bit about the coronavirus. I try to keep these podcasts sort of
timeless,
but it might be worth saying a little bit. I mean, what have you been doing these past few months?
Live streaming a lot.
Yeah.
First month or two, there were a lot of, not a lot, but there were a couple of the 24-hour street performer festivals.
Right.
Like a sort of a telethon, marathon kind of a thing. So I hosted a couple of hours of each of those. It's a bit weird. But apart from that, I've been DJing live. As you know.
That's how we got in contact this time, because I get into my office about 11 a.m. Hong Kong time. And New Zealand, are you in New Zealand right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that place is so far ahead of the rest of the world. You're 4 hours ahead of us. So you're on live. I switch to my computer at 8 a.m. Hong Kong time. And there you are, DJing. So I was friends of mine. And that's it's a nice way for me to start my day. There you are.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Twitch is really the platform where I do most of it. And I've just, I don't know if you, do you know Twitch at all? It's kind of the live equivalent of YouTube.
Okay.
So same sort of scale platform. And, you know, originally a video gaming kind of platform. But now they've opened it up to whatever. But they've got a whole bunch, like a whole culture and buzzwords and jargon and different hierarchies. So I've just reached affiliate.
Ooh,
whatever that
good.
Is to mean.
Sounds good.
Well, it means you
say
can...
do whatever you like. I have got no idea what that means.
It means you can monetize. Ooh, so, nice. I mean, that's just the beginning of another really slow climb to actually it being actual proper money. It's pretty easy, and people do easily subscribe to your channel, which in Twitch terms means that they're actually paying you a monthly kind of sub. Yes. So it doesn't take too many, like, you know, you get 50 people paying you $5 a month, and it starts to feel like, oh, that's kind of
Yeah.
something, you know.
It's better than nothing, isn't it?
with the, I mean, depending on how this whole virus thing pans out, whether we're in, well, however long the virus lasts, and then whether we're, the whole culture has changed.
Yeah.
Permanently.
Yeah.
So that doing stuff online is a whole bunch more viable, and we're all equipped for it now.
Yeah, who knows?
Audiences are used to it. So maybe that's a new direction that it's with. I mean, I'm at the moment, because I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of investing in that and just trying to build that momentum and knowledge and tech. And
well,
I really enjoy it.
Yeah, you enjoy it, and we wouldn't have got into contact if I hadn't been clicking on your online DJing every morning. It's like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
And it looks awesome. It looks really cool what you put up there.
I mean, yeah, have a look at Twitch. There's interesting stuff happening there. There's a bit of everything going on. And, like, that's where some of the 24-hour festival was hosted on Twitch. That's kind of my first exposure to it. And it's just way more interactive and real time than any of the other platforms. So,
well, I'm going to give you a big clap. I think it's brilliant.
People often wonder how I can make my podcast last for 2 hours. Well, you know, if I just carry on endlessly looping this music, it could last for five. It could last forever. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Great stuff. Talking to Kim Potter. Absolute pleasure. I will talk to you again soon. Take care, guys. Goodbye.